Toledo, we're famous for Glass, Art Tatum, Tony Pacos, Jamie Farr, a world-class museum, the Toledo Mud Hens and Walleye, an outstanding zoo and public library system. But who are the people that make our city so great? Welcome to the Soul of the Glass City podcast. I'm your host, Monique. And we are back for the new year. It's 2026. So exciting. And my first guest of the year is somebody that not only have I known for a long time, but in not knowing him over the last couple of years, he's accomplished so much, but he's the same person. I have Jason Young in the studio. How are you doing today?
I'm amazing. Thank you so much for that intro.
Yes, because you know I've been trying to get you here for a long time.
Yes.
I think over a year.
Yeah.
But you've been busy.
Yeah, there's been a lot going on with the kid and everything. But
yes, new dad, right?
New dad.
Yes. How's the baby now?
Two, just turned two.
That's cool.
I love it.
So are you originally from the good old city of Toledo, Ohio?
Yep, born and raised, born Toledo Hospital, raised south of Toledo. I went to school at Pickett Elementary, Burndale, then graduated from Libby High School. And I'm also a 2013 graduate of University of Toledo, so I'm a huge Toledo native.
And what did you get your degree in?
International Business and Marketing.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
You've done so many different things over the years. You've curated art exhibitions, you've started a footwear brand, you even launched a running club. How do you define your role as a creator, and what drives you to keep exploring new mediums?
So basically, I just love to just attack ideas. When I get an idea in my mind, I just love to execute on it. And one of the big things for me is just always keeping an imagination and not telling myself that something won't work. So that's kind of the way I would define myself. It's just kind of like just a multi-dimensional creative that just loves to try things, and I don't like to just be held into one box.
Sounds familiar.
Right.
So you had a really unique arts event called Rossi, mm-hmm. and it was such a great, you know, just time that you blended like contemporary art and trap music. And how did that come about? Because you did that for like about, I think like 5 years, and then it kind of ended. But tell me, how did that concept, you know, come to be, and how did it become like a cultural thing in Toledo? Because it was really big for a while.
My friend group, so a bunch of me and my friends, of course, in college, you're broke. So we bought, you know, cheap wine, which was Carlo Rossi, and we used to drink that before we went out. And one day, one of my friends were like, man, we should do this with just a bunch of people, and we should just get like a space, and we should just drink wine and look at art. And it kind of stemmed from that, and it just got bigger and bigger. Like, oh, we can add music, we can add, you know, paintings, we can add things like that. But the first one we did, I remember going into it thinking like, okay, this is, you know, the ideas always sound good when you're in a room full of your friends, and then when you actually like try to do it, you're like, okay, this was probably pretty dumb. And when we did it, we didn't expect it, but we had like 50 to 60 people that showed up, and we're like, okay, this is cool, let's just try to do it again, because people were just interested in it. So the following May, we did our first one September. The following May, we did our second one, and that one had like 120 people, and then it just continuously grew from that point. I think it was just a void in Toledo where it wasn't nightlife, and it wasn't it didn't require a bunch to just come and participate into arts. And I feel like that was a bunch of people introduction to the art space.
Yeah. Do you remember where the first one was?
Yeah, it was at the Truth Gallery.
Okay. Yep. So the first one was at the Truth Gallery. Then I remember you did it like at the Summit.
Yeah, the Summit was the biggest one.
But then on the when it went back to the Truth, it became a big block party.
Yes.
And then it was like 1,000 people.
Yes.
Or more.
Yes.
So that was amazing.
It was because of the fact that when we did it at the Truth Gallery originally, people were never inside the actual gallery. They would all always just spill outside. So we tried to have a bigger venue on Summit, and all the people showed up, but then they're all just complaining the next day on social media, like, we just miss being outside. We miss the block party vibes. So then we brought it back to the block.
Okay, that was, yeah, I remember. It was fun every time. The pandemic was a huge turning point for many, including you. What was the transition like from curating immersive art and music events to basically just entrepreneurship with your brand, Donnie. Were there any surprising lessons you learned during that pivot?
Yeah, so of course everyone knows the beginning of COVID, everything shut down. So going into 2020, we were already trying to figure out how were we going to do a Rossi when there was no public gatherings and things like that. But me and my friend, his name is Philip Dunstan, we sat back and we're just, you know, just having fun, and we just created a bootleg shoe. We're just like, hey, this is a Jordan one. Let's put our own spin to it. And it was like, at the end of the day, if no one buys it, at least we have just a one-of-one shoe for us to wear that we think is cool, you know? So we made the shoe, and we were just trying to come up with a million names for the brand, and we didn't exactly know what we wanted to land on. And then one day we were just talking about fake shoes, and this guy from our city who is a legend, he used to sell fake shoes, his name is Donnie. So we just named the shoes after him, and we just played on that fact that what if basically Donnie started his own shoe brand instead of selling counterfeit goods, and it just kept going, and it pretty much blew up.
So Donnie was basically a street legend.
He's a street legend. He's still a legend. He's still out here.
Okay. So, like, I can't remember what publication did, like, this big article about the top bootleg shoes to Nike. I don't remember if it was Complex or what.
It was Nice Kicks and Complex.
Yes. And I read that. I'm like, is that my friend? Like, and why are they acknowledging bootleg shoes?
It scaled. I think the pandemic was such just a weird time. We were all in a house, so we our taste was just a little different. You know, we were watching, like, Joe Exotic. You know, so it was definitely a different time.
So with your brand, you were inspired by your Toledo roots. How did the idea of connecting Toledo's culture to footwear come to life? And what role does storytelling play in your brand development process?
Like I said before, when me and my friend were trying to find the name, we had started with a name like Mercy. We had all these different names that didn't absolutely, you know, mean anything. And I think storytelling makes product to me more interesting. So all of my favorite creatives that create anything, the storytelling or the testimony behind why they created the product always makes me buy into the product more than someone just coming out with something random, you know? And I feel like with the story of our local bootlegger who was Donnie, I feel like everyone across the world can kind of, you know, relate to that.
The,
like,
inner city kids.
Yeah, all the inner city kids can kind of relate to that. You know, like, whether you live in New York or you live in, you know, Miami, Cincinnati, you knew someone back in the day who was selling a ton of just, like, fake shoes or fake clothes. And that's just the way it was. So, and I just thought that was just a unique perspective to use and be able to bring and show people that the culture of what we think sometimes is bad can be flipped into a positive.
Now, I ain't gonna lie. I did, like, text him last night. I was like, when you say local legend, what are we talking about?
Right.
And when he said our local bootlegger, I'm like, what?
Yes, definitely. He was huge. He had a storefront on the north side of Toledo, and he was always, like, on random corners with, like, a tent and a table full of shoes. And he ran all these deals. I think at one point in time, he even had radio station, you know, like, commercials just playing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, we're going to have to talk more about that off there. Yeah. So there's another big thing that you did. You worked with a brand called Midwest Kids, mm-hmm. which that's another famous Toledo person. But you were brought in for your artistic vision. Mm-hmm. So, like, why did they feel like they needed to call you to be part of that process?
To be completely honest, I really couldn't answer that question. I ask myself that question a lot, but I will say that DB, Gnarly DB, who owns Midwest Kids, is like a big brother to me, and he's always been an extremely positive role model. And since I've been young, I think he's seen something in me that I potentially didn't see in myself. So when it came time to do certain projects, as if like the Hollister project we did and the Walmart thing, it was really easy for him to just pull me into the project, because I feel like as my friend, he also didn't want to, like, let me fail. And he's seen the capabilities of things I can do before I seen him. So
wow,
I really do appreciate him for life for that.
Now, I know, like, I've known you since you were like 16, and to see you were always artistic. Were you like rapping when I first met you?
Yeah, I think I was like doing music.
Okay. And then I got to watch you like manage clothing stores and do all this stuff. So you have always been on like your path. Like,
yeah.
Even if you didn't know it.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's really amazing.
I think sometimes, you know, it's just the journey. The journey of life. It takes you in a million different places. And I feel like we try to curate it so much and yeah. make it look really, really good when we should just, you know, just experience it and just live it.
Let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you recently founded the VRB Running Club to create a space that combines wellness and community. How do you see the movement, whether through running or other forms, as a way of connecting people and fostering growth?
With VRB, to be completely honest, again, this is the same thing as with Donnie. I didn't expect for it to even grow like this.
How many people was in it when it first started?
Our first run, we maybe had 45, 50 people. And I thought from that day forward, the number was just going to dwindle. It was going to be like 12 people running. And week after week after week, we're looking up. It's 80, 100. Then we get to 200. And we're like 250. We're like, dude, this is getting crazy. We look behind us. It's like a million people running behind us. But I love it. And I think that sometimes we need healthy, you know, just things to do. Our culture in Toledo, we have a bunch of negative things to focus on if we wanted to. But I think with us having outlets and hobbies, just introducing a hobby, and sometimes people need the push, the extra push where you need to run with someone else or you need a friend to keep you motivated. And that's what it's all about. It's more of a family aspect. We don't pay shame. We don't make you feel bad because you're a beginner. We're there every step of the way. So I think that's the big thing for BRB, and that's why people love it so much, because it's more of like a family atmosphere.
That is really cool. Mm-hmm. And no, I have not ran with y'all yet.
Come out. You can walk, walk, run, crawl.
Okay. Whatever. All right. Your projects often intersect culture, creativity, and community. How do you approach building these kind of spaces? What do you think makes it successful for the people who are involved with you?
I don't think I actually even think about those things when I go into things. The bad part about it is I think it's more of a selfish thing. As bad as it's just more of like, okay, I like this right now. I'm into this. Let me just do it and try to promote it and see if someone catches on. And
I don't think it's selfish if you share with other people.
Yeah, not in that aspect. I think that going into it, maybe I should look at it like, okay, this is for everyone. I'm doing this for everyone. But I think the beginning of it, I think it all starts with you. I think if you're doing whatever you love for yourself, and if you're building it and you're genuine, I think they will come. You know, if you build, they will come. And if you have a good heart and you have good intentions, I think those, and I think your tribe will actually find you also. So like the people around me that are in BRB now, that are either admins or they run with us, those are people that naturally just kind of gravitated towards a group. And I don't like to get, you know, super religious, but I think God just kind of places those people in the space when you need them.
Okay. Looking ahead, what do you feel like is next on the horizon for you? Are there any upcoming collaborations or dreams or anything that you're particularly excited about?
I'm excited for this year. I have a bunch of different races up Chicago. I have a couple different releases coming out for like clothing and shoes, and also to just seeing BRB grow to be larger than what it is now. I'm very, very excited for that. And because, you know, running usually is huge in the spring and summer. So right now it's all about prep. So April going forward, I'm very excited to see the growth. I'm super excited. I got Chicago coming up. Chicago's huge. Chicago's a huge thing. So I'm excited.
Well, we're rooting for you. My last question: what advice would you give the youth about pursuing their dreams, especially our young people of Toledo?
I'll tell you, follow your heart. A lot of people, again, going back to what I said about being selfish in terms of like your vision, I feel like you should just follow your heart. When God or whoever, the universe, plants an idea in your head, it's up to you to, you know, execute. Because I believe that if you don't execute fast enough, then he's going to give that idea to someone else. I think I read in an interview one time that Michael Jackson said if he didn't go to the studio when he got an idea, that God was going to give Prince the record. So it's kind of like that. I think you should just execute, and you should just think about it later, because when you fester and you keep the thought in your mind so much, it's so easy to talk yourself out of things that you want to do.
I think that is such a positive way to look at get off your behind and do your idea.
110%.
Thank you so much for coming today.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm your host and producer, Monique. My executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. Join me next time for another exciting episode of Soul of the Glass City podcast. For more information, if you have questions or comments, go to wgte.org/soul.
WGTE. Voices around us.